This morning, if you would, open up your Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23, and look if you would, starting at verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for your word. And Lord, I'm thankful for the comfort of your word, Lord. I'm thankful, Lord, that your word points out those things that are wrong with us, Lord, that we may take care of those things and live godly lives, holy lives before you. You have said yourselves, "Be holy, for I am holy." And Lord, we could not do that without your instruction, without your power, without your Holy Spirit, without your word. And Father, help us, Lord, to read your word and believe every word of it. And Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that these people, Lord, they're having to stay at home and Lord, to try to get away from this sickness. And Lord, I just pray that you'll protect our people, Lord, that you will heal those that are sick, Lord, God, Lord, and just help the spread of this thing to stop. Father, we know that you have a purpose for all of it, and Lord, and we pray that you'll be glorified in it. We pray, Lord, that the lost will see, Lord, their need to reconsider eternity, Father, and help us as Christians, Lord, learn to draw closer to you through this thing. But Lord, I just pray that you'll watch over us, Lord, during this. And Lord, help us to get back to some normality here soon, Lord, and get back to where we can get back to church, Lord, and get back to fellowshipping with each other. And Lord, I just pray that you'll just handle all that. And Lord, I pray this morning that you'll bless the Word of God, Lord, as I'm getting ready to preach it. Lord, apply it to the hearts of these people. Lord, if there's somebody here that's watching this morning, Lord, that's not saved, Father, I pray that they will choose this morning to be born again, Lord, to, for the first time, put their trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior, Lord, and put their trust in him and him alone to get them to heaven. And Father, I pray this morning, Lord, there are Christians who are not right with you, that are out of fellowship with you, Lord, who have wandered away. Father, I pray this morning that, Lord, that they'll come back, that they'll see the need to come back, Lord, and I just pray it shall be with them. So, Lord, I just pray that you'll bless the preaching now, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is a passage that many of us have memorized and know very, very well, and it is by far the most well-known passage or psalm in the Bible of all of them. I think that some people may know a little bit more about, or at least know of Psalm 119 because it's the longest chapter in the Bible, but people really, I haven't met too many people that could quote very much of Psalm 119, but a lot of people can quote and have memorized the 23rd Psalm. Now, I'll even tell you this, that one of my favorite hymns of all time is based on the 23rd Psalm, and that is the hymn, "Surely Goodness and Mercy." I'm sure all of you know that hymn. That's one of my favorite hymns, and this psalm contains some of the most comforting words of any psalm in the Bible. Now, I'm not going to cover this psalm this morning word for word, but I want to kind of take time to take this passage apart little by little so that we can have a better understanding of this chapter. And before, really, when in this passage, you have basically a shepherd and then you have the sheep, okay? And before, really, a shepherd can be fully considered, we need to consider the sheep. So to be a shepherd, obviously, you need to have sheep. I mean, if you don't have sheep, you're not much of a shepherd, okay? And so, but when we look at sheep, when you look at sheep, I think we all agree this morning that sheep overall are probably not the smartest animals that have ever walked the face of the earth. In fact, sheep are those that they have a tendency to go astray even when all the food and everything's right there for them and they have everything they could possibly want, they have a tendency to go astray. You say, "Well, I don't know, Pastor. I mean, I haven't been around too many sheep." Well, you have been around Christians, haven't you? I mean, after all, Christians in the Bible are called sheep. And Christians, just as sheep go astray, Christians sometimes go astray. Now, hold your place here and turn, if you would, over to Isaiah chapter 53, because in Isaiah chapter 53, it tells us this very thing. Okay? Isaiah chapter 53 tells us this. Now, in Isaiah chapter 53, look, if you would, at verse 6. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, here in this passage in Isaiah, it's talking about Israel. But certainly it can be applied to us, because certainly all of our iniquities were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we see it's mentioned about sheep going astray. Psalm 119, 176 says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Here again, there's a comparison made between sheep and people. And that is that sheep sometimes go astray and people sometimes, Christians sometimes go astray. Now, would you agree with me that this morning that some people go astray when it comes to financial things? Certainly they do. Would you agree that some people go astray when it comes to morals and doing the things that are morally right? Certainly they do. Would you also agree with me this morning that there are some people, some Christians, who go astray spiritually in their relationship with God? Certainly they do. In fact, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say just about everybody that I know of that call themselves Christians at one time have gotten away from God, even if it was just a little bit, you've gotten away from God, that means you strayed away from Him. And so certainly Christians can go astray just like sheep. And when sheep wander off, when they wander away from the shepherd and the flock, do you know what happens to them? I will tell you this, nothing good happens to sheep when they wander away from the shepherd. And you say, well, what happens to sheep when they wander away from the shepherd? Well, they become vulnerable to the environment around them, and that can change their life forever. Every time that you get away from God, or you choose to get away from God, and may I say that's what happens, God does not want you to get away from Him. God has always been there. Even back there in Genesis, it was Adam and Eve that separated themselves from God. It was them over there hiding in the bushes. It wasn't God. It was the voice of God walking in the garden asking, Adam, where art thou? And so it was Adam and Eve that chose to get away from God. And certainly every time that we choose to go away from God, we are choosing to do something else. We're choosing something else. In other words, we were with God, we were in fellowship with God, but then we see something and we start to drift away from Him. And when we drift away from Him, it's because we want something else or we're desiring something else. And that sometimes that thing that we desire, in fact, every time that thing that we desire, it's never really worth getting away from God for to begin with. And it will always have a negative impact on your life. In Jeremiah 50, verse 17, Israel is compared to sheep that have gone astray because Israel had gotten away from God. And here's what it says in Jeremiah 50, verse 17. It says, Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away, like the king of Assyria hath devoured him. And last is this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, hath broken his bones. Now, this is telling you that some very bad things happened to Israel because they wandered away from God. And one of those things that happened was the king of Assyria. We know the story. The king of Assyria comes in there. They go into captivity both with the king of Assyria and with Babylon there and King Nebuchadnezzar. And it calls the king of Assyria lions. Nebuchadnezzar, lions. And it's saying that when they went astray from the Lord, these lions were out there and they bad things happened, okay? And so when we wander away from God, we always wander into something else. And when we get to that something else, we make ourselves susceptible to whatever's out there that wants to get us. And you say, well, what is out there that wants to get the Christian if we wander away from God? What is it that attracts people or Christians to go astray? I mean, after all, why would any sheep decide to leave the shepherd? What is it that attracts Christians to go astray? Well, it could be things like making money. Do you know what we sometimes do? We decide that we have to have something, and when we don't have the money to buy it, we decide to put it on a credit card or credit or whatever it may be. And the more we do that, thinking, you know, I can just make payments on this thing and I can buy it today, The next thing you know, we have ourselves in a bind to where we have to spend more time working to pay off that credit card and that debt. We ditch church. We ditch the reading of our Bible. We ditch our time in prayer. And we work to pay things off because those things that we bought and the making of money has become our priority. Because our goal is to pay off the debt. Not to grow in Christ, not to please the Lord, but to pay off the debt. Now, listen, you need to pay off your debts. I mean, that's part of being a good testimony, part of having a good testimony as a Christian. But I will tell you that the better way of doing it is just try not to get in debt. Don't go out and buy all these things that you think you have to have, because you are going to have to pay those things off, and the devil wants to use those things to get you away from the Lord. And so certainly that's one way that many people today, many Christians today, have gotten away from the Lord, is because they put the priority on owning a bunch of things. They got themselves into a bind, and now they're having to pay it off. It means they have to work extra hours and those sorts of things. And so certainly that could lead to us going astray. I'll tell you another thing that could lead to Christians going astray, and that is freedom. Freedom. You know, I've seen a lot of young people when they move out of their mom and dad's house and they're finally on their own, and they say to themselves, great, now I can do whatever I want to do. Well, the truth is, you can only do what your finances will allow you to do. And after you get out there, you're going to figure out some things awfully fast. You're going to figure out that all that is out there, all the freedoms that you have, really isn't all that they're cracked up to be. It's not as great as everybody makes them out to be. And when you go out there, when you get your freedom, when you say, now I can do anything that I want, you better be careful about that, because there are some things that happen to sheep when they go astray. First of all, sheep that go astray are in danger of being taken by wolves. They're in danger of being taken by wolves. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. He said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. When a believer starts wandering away from the Lord, when he gets out of church, pretty soon he becomes susceptible to false shepherds and false prophets that are out there to steal the sheep. The Bible calls these scoundrels wolves in sheep's clothing. In other words, these false teachers act like they're godly. They talk like they're godly, but they're not godly. They act like they're following the Lord, but they're not following the Lord. And I've noticed that when Christians give up hearing what the Bible has to say about things, and they will leave and start to flock to people that start to tell them the things that they want to hear rather than the things that they need to hear. The Bible calls that listening to teachers with itching ears. And may I tell you, one of the problems that we have today, and not only in this country but in this world, is you have people today that have given up what the Bible is telling them what to do and how to live life and how to please the Lord. They've given that up, and they went over there and been scooped up by these false teachers that instead of teaching the Bible, what they're doing is they're just telling them things that they would like to hear. I'll tell you this, folks. I'm one of those people I just want to hear the truth of the thing. If there's something wrong with me, I want to know the truth. I don't want somebody to try to tell me something over here just to try to make me feel good or try to make me feel great about myself. Hey, listen, I want to know what's wrong so I can get right and so I can glorify God. But there are a lot of people today that don't feel that way. A lot of Christians today don't feel that way. And they've left the Lord. They've left reading their Bible, and they've left good preaching, and they've went to these places to where, you know, it's all about the inner you, and they want to hear all about themselves and how good they really are on the inside. There is none good. There is not one. And so we need to understand today that a Christian today who gets away from the Lord can be taken by wolves. And I tell you this, I have seen many, many Christians be taken by wolves. Not only that, but you know, when sheep go astray, when Christians go astray, you know, sometimes when sheep go astray, they get things caught in their wool. In other words, over here, when they're there with the shepherd, you know, the shepherd's watching over them, and the sheep are eating happily, and everything's great. But then all of a sudden they get away from the shepherd, and they start to get into places that they weren't meant to be, and they start to get things all mixed up inside of their wool. You know, I think about when sometimes when I go out hunting, and And I'll go into certain places, and you have those little tiny little sticky burrs that get caught inside your pants and or on the outside of your pants, and it gets so thick, I mean, they're just all over you, you know. And I spend hours sitting there trying to pick those things off my pants. I got them all caught up in the wool of my pants. And so the same thing will happen to a sheep. A sheep gets in there, all those things that weren't meant to be in the wool are now all caught up in that wool. You say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean that if you get out in the world and you go astray from God, you're going to pick up some habits that you don't want. You're going to pick up some habits that you never dreamed that you would ever be, that you'd ever do. You're going to have memories and experiences stuck in your mind that you don't want to remember. The Bible says this in Galatians 6:7. It says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Therefore, you must always stay close to the shepherd, no matter what. Just stay close to God. Now, that is all I really want to say this morning about the sheep, because really the sheep are not the most important part of the 23rd Psalm. I mean, the sheep, I mean, obviously the sheep have to be there. I mean, there's a shepherd. But the shepherd is the most important thing of the 23rd Psalm. Because in the 23rd Psalm, we're told the advantages of having the shepherd. Now, the 23rd Psalm begins with telling you exactly who the true shepherd really is. It says this in Psalm 23:1. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then from there, it starts to tell you all the things that the shepherd does for the sheep. Now, I want you to see this morning why we would want the Lord to be our shepherd. Why we would want the Lord to be our shepherd. And certainly there are many reasons this morning to have the Lord as our shepherd. I mean, he's the greatest shepherd that we could ever have. But you say, well, why is that? Well, the first reason why we would want the Lord rather than somebody else to be our shepherd is because he knows us as his sheep. He knows us as his sheep. In John chapter 10, here's what it says in verse 14. And this is Jesus talking. And he says, Jesus says in John 10:14, he says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. I want you to think about all the people in your life this morning who really know you. I mean, just think about those who really know you. For some of you, you may say, well, it's my spouse who really knows me. For some of you, you may say, well, it's my parents who really know me. But you know why you'd want God to be your shepherd? It's because God knows you better than anybody else. In fact, he even knows you better than you know yourself. You see, he knows things about you that nobody else knows but you. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He knows what you're going to think tomorrow. He knows the mistakes you're going to make down the road. He knows all these things. He knows you. He says, I know my sheep. And if God knows us better than anybody else, and he knows all about us, isn't it amazing that he would still love us and that he would still give us grace? I mean, he knows our thoughts. He knows our secrets. Hey, listen, folks, if my friends knew everything about me that I know about me, they wouldn't be my friends anymore. They wouldn't. If my friends knew what I was thinking every minute of the day, they would most definitely not want to be my friend anymore. I tell you this, I'm glad my wife does not know all the thoughts that I have. Aren't you glad that your spouse doesn't know all the thoughts that you have? I tell you this, if your spouse knew every thought that you thought every single day, I tell you what, it would be a war in your house. Amen. It would. But I tell you this, folks, God knows everything about me. He knows my thoughts. He knows everything. And yet, he still loves me and wants to take care of me. Because I'm his. You see, I'm his sheep. God knows his sheep. And that's the reason you would want God as your shepherd more than anybody else. Because he knows you better than anyone. But not only do we want God to be our shepherd because he knows us as his sheep, but also we want him to be our shepherd because he leads us as his sheep. Notice in Psalm chapter 23 there, verse 2, it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Psalm 78:52 says, but made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. God leads his people. God leads us. And then the rest of the 23rd Psalm sounds awfully good. I mean, if you read those things, I mean, it says that he leadeth me beside still waters. How many of you have ever been next to a lake in the morning just when the sun starts to rise, and all of a sudden as that sun starts to rise and the wind isn't blowing, but when the wind isn't blowing, that lake there, it's just still and it's calm. Nothing upsetting the water. Absolute calmness. It says that he leadeth us beside still waters. In other words, if he's leading, then be calm. If he's leading you, just there's nothing to worry about. It also says that he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That means he leads us to do right. May I tell you this morning, if you do something that's not right, you do something that Bible says is wrong, it's not God leading you to do it. It says that he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads us to do right. Then it says in 23:2, it says, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. That is, he leads us to places that where we are fed. He leads his sheep to places where we can grow. He leads his sheep. Now, something else. Turn, if you would, over to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, when you're reading the Bible, when you're reading the Old Testament, you're going to find out there are a lot of people that are what we call types of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, there are people that had certain ways about them and certain things happened to them that you could directly compare them to Jesus Christ. Now, nobody is really compared to Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ is perfect. But there are people that, because of the things that happened to them and the way that the light that shined upon them in Scripture, they are what we consider types of Christ or pictures of Christ. And David, King David, was a type of Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus even sits on the throne of David during the millennial reign, according to Acts chapter 2. But in 1 Samuel chapter 17, look if you would, starting at verse 34. It says, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. So picture this. David's here talking to Saul, and he's basically saying this, that he's watching, that David is watching the father's sheep, and while he's watching the father's sheep, this lion and this bear come, and they snatch one of those sheep. Now look at verse 35. And it says, and I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. David was saying, as a shepherd of those sheep, he said, I cared for those sheep so much that I was going to protect them any way I possibly could. And when the lion came, I took that sheep that lion grabbed, I took that sheep back out of that lion's mouth, and I killed the lion, and I killed the bear, and delivered my sheep from them. And may I remind you again that David is a type of Jesus Christ. And we are his sheep. May I remind you this morning that the Lord does defend his sheep. And certainly that's another reason why we would want the Lord to be our shepherd, because he defends us. When the devil comes along as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, the Lord will defend us because we are his sheep. Therefore, there's no reason for us to fear. Psalm 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. May I remind you this morning, as Christians, we're not to fear anything. Not even death are we to fear. Why? Because the shepherd is right there. Because the shepherd is there with us. Hebrews 13:5 says, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You say, Pastor, what do you mean that there's no reason to fear? I have plenty of things to fear today. Folks, really, if you think about it as Christians, when you look at the whole scope of things, if you're saved this morning, what is there really to fear? I mean, if you think about it, what is there really to fear? You know, I was thinking about this last night. I was thinking that, you know, for Christians, you know, if you're saved, then you're going to heaven. If your loved one's saved, they're going to heaven and you'll get to be with them forever. And, you know, and the Lord's with you the entire time. The Lord who can defend you, the Lord who can do all things, the Lord who is perfect, the Lord who is nothing is impossible. He's there. He's your shepherd. What in the world would we have to fear? I mean, if you think about those sheep, when they're sitting right there by the shepherd, they don't have anything to fear. They're right there by the shepherd. You know, I'm reminded of when I was young, my granddad had this little chihuahua. And this little chihuahua's name was, her name was Lady, just a little tiny chihuahua. And you know, I noticed that if my granddad walked outside, the chihuahua was right there by his heels. And if somebody come walking by, a stranger come walking by, I mean, that chihuahua would start barking and going crazy. And I mean, it was acting like it was big and bad. But the second my granddad walked away, all of a sudden, that little chihuahua would look at my granddad and see him walking away, and she'd whimper and run back to his feet. In other words, she was real brave when she was right there with her master. But when her master wasn't there anymore and she started to fear. And may I tell you, that's kind of the same way it is with us as sheep. May I tell you tonight or this morning that if you're fearful of something, you need to get closer to the shepherd. You're not close enough to him. Because if you were close enough to the shepherd and you understand who that shepherd is, you wouldn't fear anything. I'll prove that to you. If Jesus Christ were right now here physically on this earth, standing right here, and you were right there beside him, what would you fear? Would you fear death? No, he's right there with you. Would you fear sickness? No, he's right there with you. Would you fear what other people say to you? No, you wouldn't fear that at all. You wouldn't fear I'd go and witness anybody. You'd be just like that chihuahua. You'd be like barking and telling people boldly about Jesus Christ. And you'd say, I don't fear anything. May I tell you this morning, Jesus Christ is with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We don't have anything to fear, folks. But sometimes we do start to fear because we start to drift away from the shepherd. There's no reason to fear. God will always take care of us. And the closer you are to him, the less you will fear. And I'm glad that my shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ this morning because he knows me. Because he leads me. Because he defends me. But you know, there's another reason that I'm thankful that the Lord is my shepherd. And this is certainly a reason that we should all want the Lord to be our shepherd. And that is because he comes and gets us when we have gone astray. You see, the Lord never forgets about his children. The shepherd never forgets about his sheep. Turn, if you would, over to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, and look, if you would, starting at verse 4. It says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, that's Luke 15, 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now I understand the context of that, and I understand the doctrinal teaching of that, but what I am want to point out this morning is this, and that is showing a shepherd who he has a herd of sheep here, and then all of a sudden one of them starts to wander away, and he cares so much about that one that wanders away that he goes out there to grab that sheep because he doesn't want anything bad to happen to that sheep. He doesn't want anything. He doesn't want that sheep to get in trouble. He doesn't want that sheep to be attacked by wolves. He doesn't want that sheep to be attacked by lions. He doesn't want that sheep to be attacked by bears. He doesn't want that sheep to start getting stuff stuck in his wool. So he goes out there and he grabs that sheep. And may I tell you, the devil sees us away from the shepherd and he's licking his chops. You know, it's just like when I was young, I used to watch a Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. It was like one of my favorite shows when I was young. And I remember sitting there watching it, and I always liked watching the lions and how the lions did things, you know. And I remember watching the lion, how the lion would creep up and behind the weeds, and all of a sudden these wildebeests would be going across. And what he would do is that they went across, the young ones that would be getting away from the group or wandering away from the group or maybe lagging behind when the group is all over here. See, that lion wouldn't attack the group, but he would attack the stragglers that weren't in the group. And what he'd do is he'd wait till one get away from that group, and all of a sudden he'd go attack it. Of course, he'd take it down, and it was over for that wildebeest. May I tell you, the devil's just sitting there licking his chops waiting for Christians to get away from the shepherd, for the sheep to get away from the shepherd so he can come attack them. And this world sees us get away from the shepherd, and they start to think about how they're going to get us. But when the shepherd looks out there and he sees the sheep that have wandered off, and he sees the bear and he sees the lion, and the good shepherd goes out there and he gets the sheep. How many of you ever seen those staffs that a shepherd holds? You know, it's a one that kind of go up, and then all of a sudden they come down. There's like a crook in there. That's what the shepherd holds. You know, you say, well, what is that crook for? It's for grabbing the sheep. In other words, the sheep goes out there astray. He don't go out there and try to run and catch it. He takes that staff. It's got that crook in there. And he'll take that shaft and he'll put it across that sheep's neck and forcibly drag that sheep back. Why? Hey, listen, the sheep wandered off, and sometimes it takes a little bit more encouragement to get that sheep to come back. So he takes that crook and put it around that sheep's neck and pulls that sheep back to where he's supposed to be. Back, he forcibly drags that sheep back to the fold, back to safety. Now, you say, well, boy, that kind of seems harsh. Yeah, but we got to remember that sheep is getting back to the fold. He's already resisted the shepherd when he walked away the first time. And the chances are when the shepherd comes to get the sheep, that sheep may still resist him. So the shepherd uses force to bring the sheep back to the fold. Now, I've got a question for you. How many of you have ever had the shepherd use that crook of that staff on you? I mean, really. How many of you have ever gotten away from the Lord and the Lord had to do a few things in your life in order to get you to come back? Now listen, folks, I understand. During that time, I've been there. You've been there. I mean, we've gotten away from the Lord. We got away from the Lord. We wouldn't confess our sins. We wouldn't make things right. We stood there and we started resisting the Lord. When we're supposed to be resisting the devil, we started to resist the Lord. And you know what? The Lord still cares enough about you that even when you wander away, even when you get attitude, and even when you start to resist the Lord, he still cares enough about you that he says, listen, I'm going to go after that sheep. I'm going to get that sheep, and I'm going to bring it back to the fold, because even though he's being disobedient, even though he's resisting me, even though he's not doing the things that I want him to do, and I've tried telling him over and over, and I've called him and called him and called him, but he wouldn't come back to me. You know what? He cares enough about you to go forcibly bring you back. And that's called chastening of the Lord. And sometimes that chastening doesn't feel very good. But I will tell you this. It was worth it. It was worth it. Anybody who's ever gotten away from the Lord and the Lord chastened you to get you back to where you need to be, you look back and it was worth it. You know why? Because the Lord's chastening to get you back was to get you back to where you're safe, to get you back where he can watch over you, get you back to where you're not wandering off and in danger and all those things. The things that could happen to you when you get away from the Lord are far worse than the Lord's chastening could ever be. The Lord is faithful. And he's the good shepherd. And he will always go after his sheep. And I pray that every one of you this morning will never stray away from the Lord. The worst thing you could ever do is stray away from the Lord. Because when you get away from him, there's no joy. There's no satisfaction. There's no contentment. All those things can only be found in the presence of the shepherd. We should all want a shepherd that will go and get his sheep. Now, if you're not saved here this morning, you need to understand that the Lord gave his life on the cross of Calvary so that you could be his sheep. John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. If you're not saved today, he wants you to be in his fold. He wants you to be a sheep of his. And he did that because he loves you. And he wants to lead you. And he wants to protect you this morning. But you must believe upon him. John 10:26 and 27 says, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You must believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ this morning if you're ever going to have the Lord as your shepherd. And may I tell you, you want the Lord as your shepherd. You want the safety. You want to be able to face anything in this world without fear. You want the Lord's protection. You want the Lord to lead you beside still waters. If you're not saved this morning, you say, "Well, how do I get saved this morning?" You got to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. You see, we all like sheep have gone astray, and he has laid the iniquity of us all on him of us all. You see, the Lord died to pay what you owe for your sins, and the Bible says the wages of sin is death. He died on the cross to pay for that. He died on the cross so that you could be his sheep. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day. If you believe that this morning, and if you call upon him to save you this morning, if you're not saved, if you'll call upon him this morning and believe that gospel, immediately you will be his sheep. And once you're his sheep, you'll always be his sheep. And you'll have nothing to fear. And Christian, when was the last time that you thanked the Lord for being your shepherd? When was the last time that you would thank him for always going to get you whenever you went astray? Or when the last time you thanked him for leading you and leading you into righteousness and leading you beside still waters? When was the last time you thanked him for, even though he knows your thoughts, to still give you grace and still love you and still forgive you if you would just ask him? Folks, we got a lot of things to be thankful for. But I want to point out this morning, if you're a Christian today and you're listening to this and you've gotten away from the Lord, you've wandered as sheep often wander, and you've gotten away from him, don't wait until he comes to forcibly drag you back to the fold. He's calling you this morning. He's calling you back to the fold this morning. He wants you to come back. He doesn't want you to be out there where the lion is. He doesn't want you to be out there where the bear is. He doesn't want you to be out there getting things caught inside your wool. He wants to protect you. So he's calling you to come back to him this morning. If you've wandered away, will you come back? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. I'm thankful that you're my shepherd. There's not a better shepherd that I could possibly be. Lord, you know everything about me. You know my every thought, but yet you still love me enough, Lord, that you take care of me, you lead me, you protect me. Lord, you even go out and get me when I wander away. I pray this morning, Lord, that help us all to be thankful for that. Help us all to be thankful, Lord, that you are our shepherd and you're the good shepherd. And I pray this morning, Lord, if there's somebody here that's watching this morning, Lord, that's not saved, I pray that they'll call upon you for salvation this morning, Lord, as you're calling upon them, that they will receive your call and they'll call upon you for salvation and believe that you died on the cross for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And I pray, Lord, there are Christians today, Lord, that have wandered away from you, Lord, that they'll come back to this morning, Lord, because I know you're calling them. And you don't want to forcibly come and get them. But I know, Lord, that you will, if that's what it takes. Lord, help them not to let it go that far. Lord, help them to come back and get back in fellowship with you this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.